bless the kids as they've just headed out for Sunday school, as they prepare themselves for school this week. And yeah, Jesus, just bless them in a mighty way. In the name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. I've really enjoyed looking through the book of Nehemiah as we've been doing our readings this last year. I don't know about you, but I'm kind of one of those people that will look at probably a gospel or a letter of Paul probably four or five times at least before looking at a book like Nehemiah. It's just one of those books that I don't often jump to. But I've really enjoyed looking at this book as Nehemiah and these Israelites have been like, okay, God, we're just desperate to get back into the land you've called us, back to Jerusalem, back worshiping you, you know, and started to see them. You know, last week the walls were being rebuilt, and now they're kind of progressing, still in exile, but progressing towards, I guess, this freedom from oppression. And chapter 9 of Nehemiah really jumped out to me this week because what the group of Israelites did is they had themselves a worship service. And even though this is a few thousand years ago, it's not too dissimilar to actually how we gathering today. In fact, chapter 9, I'm not being flashy this week. We don't have PowerPoints and stuff, so good old-fashioned Bible open or phone open as we look at the word. In chapter 9 of Nehemiah, as they gather together in this worship service, and look at the framework of what their worship service looked like. It says on verse 1, on the 24th day of the same month, the Israelites gathered together, fasting, wearing sackcloth, and having dust on their heads. I know you're thinking, well, okay, we don't have the sackcloth and dust. I mean, we could. I mean, Harvey could give out a bulletin and a sackcloth, but we don't have that. But anyway, sackcloth and having dust on their heads, those of Israelite descent had separated themselves from all foreigners. They stood in the places of and confessed their sins and the wickedness of their fathers. They stood where they were and read the book of the law of the Lord, their God, for a quarter of the day, and spent another quarter in confession and in worship the Lord their God. So here they have let's just call it a church service, where they first, this is an interesting one, they separated themselves, which is kind of almost contradictory to kind of what actually we've been hearing about this morning, what Danae has been doing, is actually inviting, it says here, foreigners, inviting in our midst. But actually what they did here was going, you know, right now, we got to just separate ourselves and just worship God. Now, before we go, well, that makes me uncomfortable, we got to think, well, hey, we as pastors, we're all about the mission. We're all about getting out there in the community. We're all about integrating. We're all about living life with just anyone who God places on our life. But I love these times we have, whether it be midweek or whether it be a Sunday morning, where we are able just to gather together and go, we're focusing on Jesus. And to a certain degree, that does separate us. Because we are here as a body going, we are focusing on Jesus. This gathering of Israelites who were in exile were like, can we just gather together, those of us on like-minded people, and just worship God? And that's what they did. Even though most of the time is spent with other people, they're like, just for now, you know, let's spend time together. Now, I know some of you may be looking at your watches right now and going, come on, Pastor, it's 11:30 already. It's time for Wendy's. But here's the thing. What just jumped out for me here, quarter of the day they spent confessing and praising. The other quarter of the day they spent worship. They spent half a day with their worship service, so it's not going to be that long. But they separated themselves, gave up time, confess to one another, something that, to be honest, we don't really do on a Sunday morning. I mean, we're more likely to shake hands and greet each other than go, hey, I swore at the TV this week, you know, or stuff like that. But confessing is important in the sense of, you know, supporting one another, finding two or three people that you trust to go, hey, can you pray for me? I'm struggling this week in this area. Okay, so confessing was important for them too. They fasted. Something that maybe we struggle with doing. But Jesus teaches us to fast. He says, don't make a big deal of it. You know, put the oil on your head. Don't walk in on a Sunday morning and go, oh, yeah, I didn't have breakfast this morning. I'm fasting. No, he says, don't make a big deal of it. Do it just before your Heavenly Father so that we're surrendering this meal or whatever it may be you're fasting, because it's so important just to get before God. So important, whatever it is on your heart, just to go, God, I just want to lay this before you. I'm not even going to eat right now. I just want to just lay this before you, humbly before you, God. And they said in their gathering, they like, we're not going to eat. We're just going to pray. We're going to worship. We're going to confess to one another. They put the sackcloths on as this humbling before God. They were in repenting for the whole of the Israelites, of just bowing before God. And this is what their worship service looked like. And then they got into their praise. Then they got into their worship. And this is what it looked like. Chapter 9, we read those two or three verses. Chapter 9 is actually a long chapter. It's 38 verses. Now, I'm not going to read it all. But what they did for the remaining, I think that was two or three verses I read, but remaining 35 verses is they just recounted the faithfulness of God. Their praise and their prayer was just consumed with recounting the faithfulness of who God is. I mean, I'll give you a few snippets here. They said, blessed be your glorious name, and may it be exalted above all blessing and praise. You alone are the Lord. You made the heavens, even the highest heavens of all their starry hosts, the earth and all that it is, the seas and all that it is. You gave life to everything and the multitudes of heaven that worship you. They're like, God, we don't think this is just a random fluke, this earth that we're on. Their worship started with, God, we thank you for life. I don't know if you watch those documentaries, you know, the David Attenborough kind of shows, that, you know, the nature shows. We're watching one that's narrated by Will Smith right now. It's kind of cool. And it's so cool to kind of see just almost the science that they're looking at of how the earth works, but just lacking the beauty of God. Because they talk about how we're perfectly situated from the sun, that we don't burn to death or freeze to death, and how everything, all these perfect things happened so that we can have life. And I'm watching it going, yeah, because we're not a fluke. That's for me. And this is what these guys were doing is, God, we are not a fluke. You are just put this all together. That's how they started this praise. Then they go through Abraham's story and go, thank you, God, for Abraham and looking after him. And then they talk about the suffering that the Israelites had in Egypt and said, you saw the suffering of our forefathers and you sent miracles. And then you divided the sea before them. And it goes on to talk about how God came down to Mount Sinai and blessed them, and he gave them food from heaven and water from rock. And they, in their worship, they talked about, even though we were stiff-necked, you had great compassion on us. You gave us kingdoms and nations. You made their sons as numerous as the stars. It just recounts just the whole chapter of just, God, you are so faithful. You are so good. And they just worshiped. These guys are still in exile. Still in a problem situation, but yet they're not going, oh, whoa, this is rough. They're going, God, you're just so, so good. Then at the end of all that, they get to their plea. They go, God, you are so faithful. We just ask you once again just to bless us. And it makes me think of the times of Paul in prison, chained up, just praising and worshiping God and going, you are just so faithful. You've just blessed me so much. Thank you. Worshiping and singing. And as I read chapter 9 of Nehemiah, it just made me think of my own prayer life. Of go, how quick I am. And maybe how quick we are to neglect and forget the faithfulness of God. And we just get so straight to the plea. We wake up and maybe it's not been a great night, or maybe it's not been a great day, or something's coming up and it's not great, and so quick to go, God, I'm praying for this, I'm praying for that, whatever it is. We almost make a prayer time when we say we're going to meet for prayer time as a morning time, rather than, hey, we're going to give requests, but we are going to just praise God, because there are so many good things just to go, you are so good, we are breathing. He gave us breath. He given us life. You know, we can recount the faithfulness of God. And then sure, yeah, we get to please or whatever it may be. I mean, Jesus teaches us to pray, and he says right at the beginning, our Father who art in heaven, or who is in heaven, hallowed, meaning glory be your name. So start with the praise, start with the faithfulness. We are so quick to forget what God has done. And we're so quick to jump to the moment that we're in right now and go, whoa, if God loved me, he would do this, do that, rather than going, God, you're so good. I'm even here right now. I mean, we think of God's faithfulness. I mean, the word faithfulness, you think of loyalty. You think of keeping promise, being faithful to the word, to your word. I think like a marriage, being faithful to one another. And you go, okay, faithfulness in my marriage is to literally be faithful, to loyal, to keep my word, to keep my vow. You think, okay, well, how does that work with God? Well, God promised to give us life, and we've got life. He promised to be with the Israelites, and he was with the Israelites. He promised to give us a Messiah. Even though we mess up, even though we sin and we die to our sin, he's like, I'm going to give you a Savior. You read Isaiah. And he gave us a Messiah. He gave us a Savior. Jesus then promises that he will beat death and he will raise from the dead. And he did that. And then he promised he will give us his Holy Spirit to give us strength, because he knows how weak we are and we need this strength. And he gives us that. We look at the promises that God has done throughout the scripture and go, God, you are so faithful. But then not only is a general talk of faithfulness, is your own personal life. I don't know if you journal or kind of note down what God has done. And I did journaling for a while, but one of the things of having ADD is you get bored of it and do something different. So for a little while, I journaled, and I enjoyed it. And who knows, I may do it again. But when I look back at my journaling, I look back at it and go, wow, God, you're so faithful. And I don't even need to write it down. I go, you've blessed me with, you know, a beautiful family. You've brought me here. Even though the summer sucked, that's good, that's fine. You know, there's so many things in my life, you know, decent, well, actually very good health and all this kind of stuff that you can look and go, God, you've just been so faithful. All those moments that I've cried out in pain or trouble, and I'm like, God, even in those moments, I look back and you would just stare for me. You were that rock for me. And I'm sorry that I so often can neglect and forget that faithfulness. Why is God faithful? Because God is love. Even though we mess up, even though we're weak, he loves us. I mean, that's the heart of faithfulness, is love. I mean, the simplest verse in the Bible is, you know, is John 3:16. And I know sometimes you go, well, that's overused. But that is the heart of it. It's God loves you so much. He loves you so much that he sent his son for you. That so you wouldn't be perishing, but you'd have life, everlasting life. And we go, thank you, God, for that faithfulness. God is love. God is faithful. Remind yourself of this truth. But then also ask yourself, am I faithful? God is faithful to me. These Israelites here were recounting of God's faithfulness from the start of time. It's good to remind ourselves of that. But then maybe ask our question, but am I faithful to God? In me and my act of worship, a life of responsive worship, faithful to God. Do I read this and I go, yes, it's good, but do I obey it? Do I follow it? Jesus teaches us to forgive. Do we do that? He teaches us to love. He teaches us to get to know him. He teaches us to be compassionate. Are we faithful to that? Do we know him so much that we go, the more I get to know you, the more I love you? I mean, question that in yourself. I was going to preach this morning on another of our readings in Malachi. It was the tithing passage. And I thought, okay, let's tick the tithing one off. You know, the district superintendent likes us to do 2 times a year preaching on tithing. But I'm one of those rebellious ones that don't like to do what I'm told. But And so I didn't. I'm like, tick to the man. But the reason I didn't is because I think it ultimately all comes down to everything comes down to faithfulness. It comes down to love. If tithing is something that you go, yeah, I don't like the idea of that, that's the question, why? Because, I mean, there's pretty good evidence throughout Scripture, even New Testament. I mean, Jesus teaches to give everything. Paul says to give a cheerful heart. Give what has been laid out on your heart. There's pretty good evidence in Scripture of giving. It ultimately comes down to faithfulness. I'm going, yeah, God, you are so good. You've blessed me in so many ways. And I just want to be faithful to you. You've called me to this, so I'm going to do it. Baptism. I just find it fascinating. People saying, I love Jesus, but I don't want to get wet in front of people. You know, it's like this faithfulness of going, God, you've called me to be obedient. You've called me to respond in this way. You've said, be baptized. You're so good. You've given me life. You've forgiven me. You've called me to respond in this way. I want to be obedient to you. I want to be faithful to you. I want to respond in that way. There's just so many different ways that we can look and go, are we being faithful to God as an act of worship, as a free willing choice? Do we just love him with all that we have? You'll see in your bulletin this week, we kept truly busy this week. Not only did you got the stuff for Danae, but in your bulletin this week, I've got a for your reflection point. I'm going old school. We got sermon notes this week, people. I know. But this is more for school kind of theme, homework. You'd love it. I've not called it homework. I've called it reflection because no one likes the word homework. But these are my two points. One, how has God been faithful to you? Spend some time this week having your own time of reflection. Maybe it's tonight in bed. Whenever you do your devotion, have some time and think. Reflect on God's faithfulness to you. The whole big picture of the story of God, yes. But then also in your personal life, those prayer requests that you've thrown out, Danae was sharing some that with the student that she's been journeying with, those prayer requests where God has shown his faithfulness. Remind yourself of his goodness. Have it as a daily part of our prayer life of thanking him for it. He's just there. He is a rock. He's a refuge. He ain't going anywhere. Remind yourself. But then pray through this next one. God, how can I be more faithful to you? What is there in my life that I may be being a little bit disobedient? Maybe it's stubborn. Maybe I said I would do this, but I haven't done this. How can I be more faithful to you? And this is through prayer and along the Spirit, because we shouldn't be doing things out of legalism and just doing it for the sake of doing it. This has to be done out of a cheerful heart. But have a time of just praying, God, just show me, is there anything that I need to surrender more to you? Maybe it's time. Maybe, God, I just need to give more time to you to get to know you more, because maybe you're going, do I really love him? Or I wrestle with this stuff. I don't really want to do this. Maybe it's partly because you don't really know him yet. Maybe that's where you could be faithful this week. Is just spend some time getting to know him. Communicate with him. Pray with him. And it says at the bottom there, if you have any questions, if you are wrestling with stuff, don't keep it to yourself. We'd love to chat with you. We'd love to pray with you. We'd love to wrestle with you. Not physically, I mean, you know. But, or maybe, I don't know. Let's go for it. I don't know. I could check. I don't know. Maybe not Rick Pease, but you know, I'll take Gord. Yeah. But maybe there's something that you're wrestling with. Let's talk about it. We're going to invite the band up, and they're going to sing that song that we listened to. If you listen to Shine FM, you've probably heard this a little bit. I think we sang it at camp as well. It's a good song of how God has been faithful in our lives. And as we sing this song together, again, start that process, allowing God just to stir us, to remind ourselves of his faithfulness, his goodness. And then as an act of worship, God, how can I be more faithful to you? How can I respond freely? Not to gain more salvation. It's not gaining that. It's just being obedient as an act of worship. God, what can I surrender more to you? Let's pray. Father God, we thank you, Jesus, that you're so faithful. You're so good. That we're coming today in freedom before you, God. That you've given us life, you've given us forgiveness, you've given us hope, and we can experience you today. Holy Spirit, we just thank you for that. We thank you for all the blessings you keep pouring out on us. We're sorry, Lord, that we so often neglect how good you are. Teach us, Father God, set our eyes on you. Teach us to be faithful. Teach us to be loved. Whatever it may be, stir in our hearts, Lord God, so we can experience more freedom in you. Holy God, we thank you for your faithfulness, that our life is a life of worship, all because of you. We thank you in the name of Jesus. Amen.
I'll invite you to stand with us once again as we sing The Goodness of God.